For the past few weeks, we've been going over a series that, with some characters in the Bible, that were faced with some defining truths about the characteristics of God, about how the kingdom of God operates. And we're calling this series Defining Moments. Because each one of us, at some point in our Christian life, will come across a piece of scripture or a verse or something in the Bible that we have to face because it will be a characteristic of God that we weren't quite comfortable with. Maybe God wants us to act in a way that we're not too sure we want to be there yet. Maybe God is doing something in the Bible that kind of rocks our viewpoint of how he's supposed to act. And so we're just not comfortable with that. And so that's why we're calling this Defining Moments, because all of us, because of our upbringing or maybe some circumstances in life or whatever the case may be, we have a view of how we think God should operate. And sometimes we come across scripture where that gets challenged, and that becomes a defining moment for us. My wife Kim started this series out a few weeks ago, and she laid the groundwork for this series because she said that there are three paths, and one of which we choose to go down when faced with a defining moment. The first one is that we can ignore it. We can ignore what we read in the Bible and hope that it never surfaces again. Well, what happens when we ignore things in life? Does it ever go away? No. The other path we could take is we can reject it. We can say, well, you know what? That is not how my God works. So I'm just not even going to go down that path. And she used the analogy, Pastor Dave years ago stood up here and he ripped pages out of the Bible. Because if you don't believe it, you may as well rip those pages out of your Bible. But then the third path that we can choose can be the toughest, the most challenging, but in the end, it's the most rewarding, and that is we embrace it. We embrace what that scripture was, what that passage was, what that story was that we read in the story in the Bible, and we allow God to change us into his way of thinking, into his will, into how the kingdom of God actually operates. And so today, we're going to go over what is one of my most favorite stories in the Gospels. And it's the entire chapter of the Gospel of John, chapter 9. If you want to, go ahead and get ready to turn there. We're going to read some of it. I'll fill you in on some of it. But what I want to encourage you to do is, after today, when it's fresh in your minds, this afternoon, instead of taking a nap, get back into the Gospel in chapter 9, okay? And do this. Put yourself in that story. Put yourself in there as a bystander. How did it look? How was everybody acting? How would you react if that was you? Because this story is it's just crazy. So let's jump into it. So the Gospel of John, chapter 9, we're going to start in verse 1. Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of God. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. So this is one of those times where Jesus gets a little bit wordy and he's kind of alluding to the fact that he is the Messiah, but he doesn't come right out and say it. And so basically, what he's in earlier in John chapter 5, he says that I only do what I see the Father doing. So what I'm going to go ahead and believe here is that these guys were walking along, and they asked Jesus a question. We'll get into that a little bit later, but Jesus was saying, listen, I am the light of the world. While I'm here, I'm going to shine this light wherever I go. Because there's going to come a time when I'm not here, and it's going to be dark. It's going to be nighttime for you guys. So that's kind of what he's saying there. Verse 6. When he had said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, Go over there where the water is. Go wash your face off. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Therefore, the neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was blind said, "Is this not he who sat and begged?" Some said, "This is he." Others said, "He is like him." And he said, "I am he." Therefore, they said to him, "How were your eyes opened?" He answered and said, "A man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go to the pool of Siloam and wash.' So I went and washed and I received my sight." Then they said to him, "Where is he?" And he said, "I don't know. I don't know where he is." So right off the bat, there's three defining moments that we have here. The one that we're just going to touch on is that the fact that the disciples believed, because they were taught this by the Jewish religious leaders, that a person who was born blind or handicapped or had some kind of a disease, it was the result of the sins of the father or mother or somebody in the family. And Jesus said, it's not the result of that. That's misguided teaching. This man was born blind so that the kingdom of God could be revealed to him today. Well, I do not believe that God said, "You're going to be blind, so 20, 30, 40 years from now, I can give you back your sight." You know, that's ridiculous. God's will is that none of us should be sick or hurting or any of that stuff. But we live in a fallen world, and there are just some things that we have to deal with, and this was the one. But what I do believe is God chose today, this day, for this man to receive his sight. God chose an opportune moment with the disciples and everything. This man's going to receive his sight. Jesus says, "I only do what I see the Father doing." Well, he heard the voice of God. Give this man his sight. And then he probably said to himself, "You seriously want me to spit in the ground and wipe mud all over this guy's face?" You know, Joshua Poland preached a sermon a while back, and he said, "Don't be afraid to do weird things for God." Would anybody spit in the ground and wipe the mud on somebody's eyes if they were blind? I don't see any hands. Right. I couldn't do it either. But that's what he did, right? So first of all, he says, you know, this guy isn't blind as the result of somebody's sins. But then he does the weirdest thing. He spits in the ground, wipes it all over the guy's eyes. I'm sure there was mud all over his face, you know, but he didn't know because he couldn't even see. And Jesus says, go wash. Wash your face off over in that pool of water there. As soon as he did it, he receives his sight. Man, this is a good day. So he runs back to his family, back to his neighborhood. And he can see. He's running. He's probably jumping over bushes. He's hooting and hollering. He's rejoicing. And then all of his friends are like, is that him? I don't know. Looks like him. He's like, it's me. It's me. I can see. Well, how'd this happen? A man named Jesus spit on the ground, wiped my face with mud, told me to go wash, and now I can see. Well, who is this Jesus? Where is he? I don't know. I don't know where he is now. Nobody rejoiced in the fact that he had his sight. They broke out into an argument. Where's Jesus? Is this him? Looks like him. Well, where is he? I don't know. You know, why is it that when a miracle of God takes place, some people are so hung up on the how and the why than the fact that a miracle took place? They can't accept the fact that God showed up and did something. They gotta have everything lined up, all the answers, in order for it to compute that it was a miracle. I have come to the conclusion, and it helps me immensely, as a pastor and as a Christian, that there are going to be I don't know moments when it comes to Jesus, when it comes to God. I don't know why you're in the hospital. I don't know why you came down with this. I don't know why you're going through this. But I do know that if we pray and we seek God, he's going to show up. Sometimes you do have answers, but sometimes you don't. I don't know why you can walk now, but you can. I don't know how that arm is moving like it is, but you can move it now. I don't know how you got healed, but I know God showed up. I know God moved in your favor. We won't always have the answers for the why and the how that God does things in our lives. but we do know when he shows up. Amen? So instead of rejoicing, look what happens. Let's pick this back up in verse 13. They, I'm going to assume his neighbors and friends, brought him to the religious leaders, to the Pharisees. These were the Jewish religious leaders in the town. Now it was a Sabbath when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also asked him, again, how he had received his sight. He said to them, he put clay on my eyes, and I washed, and I see. Therefore, some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, because he does not keep the Sabbath. Others said, how can a man who is a sinner do such things, do such signs? And there was division among them. Some of the religious leaders were like, oh, maybe this guy is of God. But the others were like, there is no way this guy can be from God. Why? Because he doesn't keep the Sabbath. The Sabbath was supposed to be a day of rest. No work was to be done on the Sabbath. And according to the religious leaders, not even healing somebody. So according to them, Jesus was supposed to say, sorry, it's the Sabbath. I can't give you back your sight. I can't allow God to move into your life. It's the Sabbath. We have to rest. You see, Jesus knew exactly what day it was. If you go back to John chapter 7, you can see where Jesus starts poking the religious leaders a little bit with their theology. And then in John chapter 8, he has what I call the greatest showdown of all with the religious leaders. So much so that Jesus ends up calling them sons of the devil. Because of the laws and all the things that they were laying on the people to do in order to keep their religious scriptures in line. Jesus called them sons of the devil. These guys were at odds with each other, Jesus and the religious leaders. Jesus was not politically correct in his day. I have to wonder sometimes if he walked into here or if he showed up on earth today, would we recognize him? Because I bet he would challenge us in some of our viewpoints of him. But here's the thing. Has anybody yet to rejoice with this man that he has received his sight? Nobody. This poor guy has not been given any kind of a celebration yet. Not one. And this is where the defining moment comes to life for the religious leaders. You see, here's what they were saying in these three verses. We know God. We know the scriptures. We know how God operates. We know what God would and wouldn't do. And we know God would not heal a man on the Sabbath. You see, they couldn't explain it. They couldn't accept it. And so they rejected it. What happened doesn't make sense to them. They rejected the fact that a miracle of God took place because it doesn't equate to who they think God is. When we need an explanation for everything that God does, we may as well start questioning his very being, who he is. If you need an explanation for everything that God does, you may as well just question who he is altogether. You see, God does things that don't always make sense. And that's where our faith in him should grow. And then when you continue reading this story, these guys start drilling this guy about Jesus and about his sight and everything. And it starts getting heated. And then they bring his parents in. And they were like, is this your son? Yeah, this is our son. How did he receive his sight? Oh, we don't know. Ask him. They don't even want to answer. This is a big brouhaha that was taking place all day. And the religious leaders are mad. And the... depending on the answer that the parents gave, would have depended on whether or not they were going to get kicked out of the synagogue, which would have been a big deal, because then they would have been outcasts. So they didn't want it. They didn't. Ask him. He's a big boy. He'll tell you. Well, he does end up telling them, and he starts mouthing off to them a little bit, and he starts getting upset with them. And at one point he says, well, do you want to become his disciples too? I mean, the guy has received his sight and nobody has rejoiced with him yet. So then let's look at verse 34. The man starts teaching them, the man starts preaching to them about God and Jesus. And he says in verse 33, if this man were not from God, he could do nothing. Then the religious leaders answered him and said, you were completely born in sins, and are you teaching us? And they cast him out of the synagogue. They threw him out. So here, God showed up in this man's life, and the religious leaders of his community are saying, you were completely born in sins. Get out of here. You're teaching us? Who are you to teach us the scriptures? This poor guy. And he's cast out. Now he's an outcast. He can't go to church. Can't go to the synagogue, the church of his day. He can't face anybody because he mouthed off to the religious leaders. They kicked him out. He can see, but big deal now. But here's the thing. The story doesn't end here. Let's keep reading in verse 35. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. This little passage here is rich to me because I love this. And when he had found him, he said to him, do you believe in the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? And Jesus said to him, you have both seen him, and it is he who is talking to you. Jesus looked this man in the eyes and said, I am the Son of God. You are talking to the Son of God. I lost my place. Oh, my page moved. Okay. Do you believe in the Son of God? He said, yes, Lord, who is he? You have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you. Then he said, Lord, I believe, and he worshiped him. I believe you are the Son of God. And if I put myself in that position, I have to believe that Jesus just held him and hugged him and loved him. You see, that's the Jesus that we serve. That's the Jesus who loves us enough to allow himself to be nailed to that cross. Read all four Gospels. And this is the one where the guy looks, Jesus looks somebody in the eyes and says, I am the Son of God. You're talking to him. The guy worships him right there. You see, this tells me that Jesus cares about every single thing in our lives. Every bad day we've had, every argument we've had, every belittlement we've had to put up with, everything that has crossed our path that has wronged us, every feeling that's been hurt, every bad day we've had at work, made a mistake, got yelled at, everything that happens in our lives, Jesus cares about. Jesus could have been, he's a busy guy, he could have just moved on his way, but he searches this guy out, and he takes the time to say, I am the Son of God. Now here's the thing. We have to allow him in. He wants to console us. He wants to minister us. He wants to take care of us. But he can't do it if we don't let him in. You know, so many times I see people that are making decisions in their lives and they want God to show up and this and that and the other, but they have a challenging time with Scripture, or they have a challenging time with letting somebody into their lives. And it's like, Jesus wants to help you out. He's right behind you. His arms are open wide, but you just keep going this way. You're not paying attention. You're not turning around and letting him embrace you and love on you and console you and care for you and give you the answers that you're looking for. If we don't let him in, he's not going to help us. Because that's the kind of gentleman that he is. He doesn't force himself on us. But he's behind us like, I'm right here. If you just turn around, embrace me, worship me, just relax in me, I can give you the rest that you need. You know, this guy's never seen Jesus, but he recognizes his voice. And I don't know where he was or whatever, you know, but Jesus says, hey. And the guy, I bet the guy was like, whoa, I know that voice. And he has this conversation with him. And now his story is forever written in history. He knows Jesus is the one who healed him, and he does not need an explanation. He doesn't ask Jesus to explain, why did you put mud all over my face? Do you know how stupid I looked walking across town to go wipe all that off? You put mud all over my face. You spit on me. And then he doesn't ask, why did you do this on the Sabbath? You know, I've been blind for 20, 30, 40 years. You could have waited one more day. Why did you leave me to face the religious leaders by myself? Do you know what I had to go through? I can't even go to church anymore. He didn't ask any of those questions. Jesus said, do you believe I'm the Son of God? The man says, yes, I do. And he worshiped him. He did not need an explanation. This man's faith in God had been stirred. And that's all he needed to believe. Jesus was standing right there in front of him. Jesus is standing right in front of us sometimes. Sometimes we ignore it. Sometimes we reject it. And sometimes we embrace it. It's our choice. It's up to us. What are we going to do with it? This man's, not only were his eyes opened literally, but his spiritual eyes were opened as well. And he became a follower of Jesus, a believer in the one who can save us from ourselves. So in closing, this man had a defining moment with Jesus. And he did not need to have anything explained to him. Sometimes with us, it's something small. Being born blind, receiving your sight, I wouldn't need an explanation either. Woohoo! You know, I would be, wow. But we can't question everything God does. He embraced who Jesus was and became a follower. He had a bad, bad day with the religious leaders. But he had found out who the true Messiah was, and he embraced that. The religious leaders, well, they had a defining moment too. And they couldn't get past the fact that something undeniable happened. Something that they couldn't explain happened, and they couldn't understand it. So they rejected it. You know, in the Gospel of John chapter 7 and chapter 8, Jesus says things to religious leaders that only they would know about him being the Son of God. Things that come out of the Old Testament scriptures. And it infuriated them because their long-awaited Messiah was standing in front of them, quoting scripture that said he was the person they were waiting for. And they couldn't accept it. They rejected it. So they had rejected a miracle of God that had been done that day. You know, some of us have moments like that, right? Some of us have moments where we cannot accept what is written in the Bible. We cannot accept how God is acting. What do we do when God doesn't act the way we think he should act? What do we do with that? What do we do when prayers don't get answered? These are struggles that we have. Your prayers don't get answered. What do you do with that? You yell at God? You get mad? You accept it? You embrace it? These are the legitimate things that we struggle with. What do we do when Scripture doesn't line up with who we think God is? Oh, that my God wouldn't act like that. Oh, no siree. Do we continue putting our faith in a God who might do something that we cannot explain? Or do we dig our heels deeper into the ground and say, nope, God wouldn't allow me to go through this? You know, God doesn't, it's not his will that we should deal with sicknesses and hurts and sorrows. We live in a fallen world. There's, you know, sometimes we just have things that cross our paths. It's like, ah, what do I do with this? Man, you draw as close to God as you can and you hang on. That's what you do. You accept what his word says and you find passages that relate to your situation and you hold on to that. That's what we do. God's going to love us and see us through everything. Bottom line is, our salvation was paid for on that cross. You know, there are always going to be things that we can't explain about God. I mean, he created the sun, the moon, the star, the planets, everything out there by speaking it into existence. He created humanity by speaking it into existence. Think about how complex the human body is. He spoke that into existence. There are going to be some things we can't explain about him. But here's where the issue lies with us. When we shift our focus from the unexplainable to the undeniable. In other words, when we say, I can't explain why this is happening, but I also can't deny that God showed up, we will be far better off. Our faith will stay strong. And just like the blind beggar, who cares how it happened? God showed up. It happened. Every person who is a believer in Jesus around the world has a very similar story to tell. And it goes like this. When asked why they have their faith in Jesus, they will start out with, I needed something better in life. I needed something to change. I needed a void to be filled. I was searching, and I wasn't getting the right answers until I came across Jesus. And Jesus filled that void. Jesus brought that answer. Jesus was the only one who could bring the peace I was looking for. So we invited him into our lives. The Holy Spirit of God filled our bodies, breathed new life into our bodies, and an unexplainable joy entered our lives, maybe for the first time ever. And we couldn't deny it. And we said, I'm in. I am in. I am a believer in Jesus. You know, Jesus is the most well-known figure in all of history. Think about it. The world's timeline goes before Christ in AD. After him. His birth signifies he is the most undeniable figure in all of history. Why? Because everything that he does is undeniable. You cannot deny it happened. You cannot deny the stories in Scripture. You cannot deny why your faith is in him because of what he's done for you. I can't explain it, but I can't deny it. We might not be able to explain everything that he does, but if we embrace Jesus and his ways, we will be much better off in life. Amen? Let's pray. Lord God, I just thank you so much. Jesus, I thank you for stories like this. This poor guy, you gave him his sight and nobody rejoiced with him. They didn't believe it was him. His friends, his neighborhood didn't believe it was him. Religious leaders couldn't get past the fact that God showed up in this man's life on the Sabbath of all days. And then you heard about it. Jesus, you heard that he got kicked out of the synagogue. And you went to find him. Isn't that just like Jesus? How many of you can say, yep, he chased me down, he found me. I thank you for that, Jesus. And I'll just pray, dear God, that for those of us that may be struggling with some defining moments in our lives right now, I pray, Lord Jesus, that as we enter into worship, God, that you would show up in our lives, that you would help us with that struggle, that you would bring the answer, bring the peace, bring what is needed, that we could turn around and just fall into your arms and know that it's going to be okay. You died for us on that cross so that you could take care of us and show us a better way. And I thank you for that. Bless you, God. Show up in our lives today, Lord Jesus. Maybe we just need an extra touch. Maybe we're hurting so bad that it was all we could do to just get here today. And now you're like, you mean all I got to do is just turn around and let him hold me? Yeah, that's it. It's all he wants to do. Just embrace him as we go into worship. Let him minister to you. I promise every tear he wants to wipe away, every hurt he wants to heal. Let him minister to you as we enter into worship here. I thank you, God. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Woo! So, a couple things. We'll have some ministry time here, then we'll close out with one song. Tad Kidd came up to me, and he felt like there might have been a person or some people here that have a decision to be made, but they're lacking the confidence in making that decision. You have a decision that needs to be made, but you don't have the confidence to actually make the decision. Does that mean anything to anybody here? Is that up here? Anybody else over here? Two people? Three? Four? Keep your hands up. Keep your hands up. Anybody else? You've got a decision coming up over here. All right, so let's do this. Everybody who's around these people here, let's lay our hands on them. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, first of all, I want to thank you, Holy Spirit, for how you... There's a lady over here. Let's get somebody to minister to her. Yep. Anybody else? All right. So I love how the Holy Spirit works, okay? So the Lord used Tad Kidd to give a word. And look how many people needed that. That is rich. That is undeniable. So God, each decision that is represented here, God, each lack of confidence that is taking place here, God, I ask right now, Lord Jesus, that you would seal the decision that needs to be made in their hearts right now and give them the confidence that they need, Lord God, to make that decision. Whether it's a yes or a no or whatever the case may be, work-related, home-related, whatever the case may be, spiritually related, God bless them with the confidence that they need to make the decision that needs to be made right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Okay, so we're going to close the service out with one more song, but I really felt that as I was praying after the sermon that there's a lot of hurts in here. There's a lot of, come on, God, I need you. There's a lot of needs represented here. And so as we sing this last song, I just encourage you to come up front. Maybe whatever it is, just lay it down to Jesus. Let him take care of it. If you're not comfortable coming up front, just wherever you're at, let him take care of you. I know firsthand knowledge, when I pour my needs out to him, he's there. Amen? So I just bless all the needs represented here today. I encourage you to come up front, spend a little time with Jesus. Let him minister to you. Maybe he'll have a verse for you. Maybe he just wants to hold you for a minute and just let you know everything is going to be all right. Amen? Amen.